go to the last item on the agenda, if I'm not mistaken. CIRI verse 10 through 12.
So, Henry, were you anonymous?
It was there after all.
So we have one paper for this session, and we will not ask the board to take any decision. The objective of the session is to briefly remind the board about the process and the purpose of a post-implementation review and the objectives of the three standards under review. The post-implementation review is a mandatory step for all new IFRS standards, provides an opportunity to assess the effects of the new requirements and how the standard is working in practice. Must consider the issues that were important or contentious during the development and also the issues that have come to the attention of the board since publication of the standards. So we have two phases in the post-implementation review, and in phase one we will reach out to a number of constituents to get their input about topics which should be included in the request for information. And the plan, the target, the ambition is to complete this first phase during the last quarter of this year. There is a meeting, as of meeting before Christmas, we think it could be the final step to collect this kind of input. We're also doing other activities. We've been looking into the material in the manual of the accounting firms. We've been looking into the submissions to the interpretation committee. And we have Professor Simpson at the London School of Economics. She's looking at academic literature review. You may want to temper your expectations because the first indication so far is that there may not be an extensive academic literature, but we're still looking for more. In early 2020, we plan to bring the analysis of the input received to the board with the staff recommendation for the content of the request for information. And at the end of the comment period, the board will need to consider the feedback on the consultation together with all the other input collected and evidence collected and decide if any further activities is needed. There is no presumption that the post-implementation review will lead to standard setting. And as a matter of fact, we have completed so far three post-implementation reviews with different outcomes. So the three standards were issued simultaneously back in 2011 with the effective date of 1st January 2013, which was deferred in the European Union to 2014. IFRS 10 was intended to address divergence in practice in applying the consolidation guidance in IS 27 and IFRS 12, and the idea was to develop a single consolidation model. And the main amendment after publication was the inclusion of the guidance on investment entities. So if an entity qualifies as an investment entity, is not required to consolidate their subsidiaries, but is required to bring to carry those interests in subsidiaries at fair value to profit and loss. IFRS 11 was intended to provide a classification for joint arrangement that depends on the rights and obligation that the parties sharing joint control have, rather than on the legal form of the jointly controlled activities, and also to eliminate accounting options for joint ventures. And IFRS 12 was intended to improve information on the entity relationship, and especially to the risk exposure arising from involvements with other entities. So if you look at agenda paper number 7, in paragraph 22, we have a very short table that summarizes the planned sessions with the interpretation committee and advisory bodies of the ISB. We're finalizing the plan of outreaches with constituents. We're going to share that with the board advisors. And I would say that's pretty much for the session. I will just leave the floor to the board for comments and questions.
Reached saturation point?
Not yet.
Nick?
So just a clarification.
implications. So I think this is the first time being here at the start of one of the post-implementation processes. So just in terms of the two stages, to what extent does the first stage really scope the issues, and that anything we hear in the RFI following on from that, you know, in that first stage, anything else it falls outside? Is it really the first stage that's critical?
Well, question about the scope of the post-implementation, I think we will need to have a conversation down the line, because my expectation, based on discussion that I've heard before joining the ISB, was that in the post-implementation review, some constituents will raise issues that may go even beyond the content of the free standards under review. So I think at a certain point we will need to have a discussion about the scoping of the post-implementation review. But it would be, I would say, we would wait until we get the input from constituents to...
It wasn't so much what's in or out of the scope, it's more about the process in terms of, is it really determined by the first stage?
The first stage is about setting the scope of the request for information. So you're starting off broad to find out what are the areas to focus on in the formal request for consultation document that you issue. So I think what the board will need to do once we've assembled the feedback is we'll have to analyse that and sort of make the preliminary assessment, and then the board will decide how we're going to do the actual consultation exercise.
But it doesn't rule out other issues that are raised separately through that request for information.
Yeah. And I think if my memory serves me well, we do ask if there's other things that people want to raise beyond the specific things we've...
But it's just trying to get a focus of the consultation.
Yes, cool. Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions, comments? That is not the case, so that brings us to the end of our board meeting for this month. Thank you very much.
Thank you.